In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. For someone who is new to Lutheranism, there is perhaps no part in the divine service that has the probability to be offensive than the words of the absolution. In the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins. Many church bodies today even teach that these words ought to be offensive. And so someone who comes into a Lutheran service for the first time and hears the pastor speak those words may think to themselves, who does this man think that he is to offer forgiveness? And not just any forgiveness, but forgiveness for all of my sins. What gives him the power and authority to speak in this way? For those of us who have been Lutherans for a long time, that thought may never even cross our mind because we have become so used to it. And yet, it is an important question to consider. What does it give the pastor the authority to speak those words and say, I forgive you, not just some of your sins, but I forgive you all of your sins? Well, Martin Luther would direct us to John chapter 20, beginning in verse 22. It is the evening of that first Easter Sunday. Our Lord has risen from the dead, and now he appears to 10 of the disciples who are gathered in the upper room. He breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Our Lord Jesus has given the authority to men to forgive sins. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. Unless we think that this authority was simply passed to the apostles, we look in Luke chapter 10 as our Lord Jesus speaks not just to the apostles, but to the 70 disciples who are sent out as called ministers of the gospel to preach to the surrounding towns. Our Lord says in Luke chapter 10, verse 16, he who hears you hears me. He who rejects you rejects me. And he who rejects me rejects him who sent me. It is not just the apostles, but all the called ministers of Christ that have been given this authority in the church to speak in the stead and by the command of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because, as Matthew 28 teaches us, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Christ. And he says, therefore, go and make disciples. Pronounce the absolution. Christ, having received all authority from his Father, has given the authority to men to forgive sins. Therefore, St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, speaking on behalf of the called ministers of Christ, let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. And there is perhaps no greater mystery in all of Christendom than that a man could speak the words of absolution, thus opening the gates of heaven to us. And this is what our Lord tells the disciples in Matthew chapter 16. I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Christ has given the authority to men to pronounce absolution, extending the Lord's forgiveness, and literally opening and shutting the gates of heaven. The forgiveness or absolution is that key to the kingdom that Christ has given to his church, and specifically in this context to the called ministers of Christ to exercise publicly in the Christian congregation. And so, for those sinners who do not confess their sins and look to Jesus as Lord, the gates of heaven remain eternally shut and locked. But for you, for me, poor, miserable sinners as we are, when we look to the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, to the suffering and death that he endured in order to atone for our sins, when we believe that his authority has been given to the called ministers to extend forgiveness to us, when we trust those words in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins, when we believe those words, the gates of heaven are eternally open to us. This reality is illustrated very clearly and definitively in our gospel text for today. Matthew chapter 9, beginning in verse 1, our Lord Jesus has just crossed over the sea and has come to his own city, presumably Nazareth. We read, beginning in verse 2, that behold, they, some people, brought to Jesus a paralytic lying on a bed. This paralyzed man, maybe he just can't walk, maybe he's completely paralyzed and can't even move and is totally dependent on his friends to care for him, and yet in faith, these friends bring the paralytic to Jesus, knowing and trusting that he can heal, that he can offer forgiveness. And notice what it is that drives the Lord Jesus to act for this paralytic. He sees not the faith of the paralytic. He sees their faith, his friend's faith, and so acts for him. This, my friend, should teach us something about the power of prayer, the power of intercession for another. The prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The Lord listens to those of us who intercede on behalf of another. So when our Lord Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven." Now, this may seem a little bit odd. This may seem anticlimactic. These men brought their friend who is paralyzed to Jesus, and he offers him forgiveness? Doesn't he really need physical healing? Well, maybe not. Maybe Jesus sees what he actually needs. And so he offers him that thing. He tells him, "Be of good cheer. This is what you really need. This is what matters most. Because this forgiveness is what opens the gates of heaven. Son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you." But some of the scribes who are standing there were not pleased by what happened. Maybe they were even a little bit offended seeing this man forgive sins. And so they said within themselves, "This man blasphemes. Only God can forgive sins. What gives him the authority and the power to forgive sins?" Yet Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? See, it is evil to think that a man cannot forgive sin." In the person of Jesus Christ, God the Father has given authority to men to forgive sin. Our Lord Jesus, in turn, has given that authority to men of our day to forgive sins. And so it is evil, according to the scriptures, to reject this means of grace that our Lord extends, to believe that a man cannot forgive sins. This is how our Lord has chosen to deal with us. And so it is evil to reject that. Why do you think evil in your hearts, our Lord says? For which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise and walk? Well, humanly speaking, it's actually easier to say your sins are forgiven, because there's no proof of that. You can't tell if the one speaking those words is a fraud or if they are speaking the truth, because there is no visible, tangible proof. It's harder to say, arise and walk, because if I say to a paralytic, arise and walk, and he does not arise and walk, then I am immediately revealed to be a fraud. So humanly speaking, that is more difficult, to say, arise and walk to a paralytic. And yet, in heavenly terms, spiritually speaking, it is the forgiveness that is much harder to say and have it truly mean something. And so, to tangibly demonstrate to these men and to us that God has given authority to men to forgive sins, our Lord says to these scribes, but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he then said to the paralytic, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. And he arose and departed to his house. The man, Jesus, has authority to forgive sins, and he demonstrates this clearly because he has authority to heal the paralytic. Just as his word accomplishes the healing of this paralyzed man, so too does his word, the word of a man, accomplish the forgiveness of sin. So when the multitudes saw this, they marveled at this great mystery, giving glory to God who has given such power and authority to men. Our Lord Jesus is the chief example of a man forgiving sins. He is the man, because God the Father has given him authority to forgive sins, and because he has in turn given that authority to men today, the called ministers of Christ in the Christian congregation. My friends, you can have utter certainty that when the words of the absolution are spoken to you, it is true. Your sins are forgiven. The gates of heaven are open to you. Not because of my power, not because of the authority that this office conveys to me, but because of the authority of Christ. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. It is that name, that power, that makes these words effective for you, that opens the kingdom of heaven to you when the words of the absolution are spoken. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.